Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling. But eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus loves to use some of the least reputable people to refer to in his parables. That, you know, if the dishonest steward can make friends, how much more should the children of light do that? And in this gospel, if a dishonest judge is going to give a just decision just because the widow keeps pestering him, how much more? How much more will the Lord render justice for us? I came across the words of a Kentucky farmer, Wendell Berry by name, an essayist, who said that he foresees a time in which there will be two groups of people on the earth. One group of people will live as if they are creatures, and the other group will live as if they are machines. And lest we hastily think that, well, we're in the first group and not in the group of those who are living like machines, it's worth asking ourselves a simple question like, in our experience right now, even this very day, what feels more real to us? The sunrise and the sunset, or the artificial sources of light that we can't keep our eyes off of? The sun and the moon are the ones that govern the passing of time. They're gifts to us. Wristwatches, computers, phones are servants, not masters, of that greater time. And the reason we should consider this question, are we living as creatures or more as machines, is because Jesus is commanding us in the gospel that we should never grow weary of praying. We should be praying always, Jesus says. But if we think of that always like a machine being on and never being turned off, well, machines that are always on eventually burn out and get thrown away. They become waste. But creatures, you and me, we can actually give every hour of every day to the Lord. We can offer our rising to him. Morning offering. Lord, bless this day. I give it to you. We can offer the meals that we have to the Lord. Lord, be my guest when I sit down to eat. Bless this food. We can make a prayer out of our going to bed at night by looking over the day and thanking the Lord, perhaps for three graces that came our way that day. We can offer our sleep, the middle of the night, to the Lord when we get up and can't fall back to sleep. Ideal time to pray some decades of the rosary until we go back into sleep. The church is always at prayer. The world is round, which means there's always sunrise somewhere, always sunset somewhere. And the Mass is being celebrated this hour, right here, right now. And when this Mass ends, another one will begin somewhere else. And when that one ends, another one will begin. It's a single, undivided act of prayer so that the church can answer Jesus' question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Yes, the whole church responds. Yes, Lord, your love is circulating through your body all the time. The prayers that we also pray that are called the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office, what comes down to morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and the Office of Readings. We also attempt those at our parish in some creative ways. The Vespers and Vocations initiative for the young men of our parish who get together in this sanctuary once a month and chant the scriptural psalms of the Bible, as the church has done all the way back to her Jewish roots. And for the young women of our parish, led by Jessica Hayes in Compline and Consecrations, this group of young women sings the church's night prayer. Each of us make our contribution to the church's prayer. Our Oratory of St. Mary Magdalene is another attempt for our parish never to grow weary in praying. There always must be two people, at least, praying before the Eucharistic Lord. And we can go whenever the Spirit moves us. And even more beautifully, we can commit to an hour, even if it's an hour once a month that we take. The men of our parish, many of them have committed to 1 hour a month in the middle of the night, our Watchman initiative. I conclude with a story that a friend of mine sent to me that I can't get out of my head, and it's pierced my heart. I've shared it at the 6:30 Mass, I shared it at the 8:15 Mass, and now it's making the big time. My friend Angie has entered monastic life at Our Lady of the Redwoods Monastery in California, and she sent me this little paragraph. Monasteries are only able to exist because of the generosity of many, many friends' contributions of time, money, labor, and prayer. Today, we welcomed a couple to stay with us. They come every year for a week, and they spend from sunrise to sunset each day doing manual labor, fixing things and building things. All year long, we keep a running list of things for them to work on while they're here. And while they're here, They make their way through it. The guy has been coming to the monastery each year for the past 45 years. And once he married, his wife started coming with him. When they come from Oregon, they bring with them 50 quarts of homemade applesauce, 4 dozen homemade cookies, 15 quarts of soup, and many gallon bags full of homemade dried fruit, cherries, apples, bananas, and figs. This is in addition to all of the ingredients for the 5-course meal they insist on preparing for us the evening they arrive. Everything about them is just completely imbued with the most outrageous generosity. The husband must be close to 80, and the two of them spend 3 full days per week cooking and serving meals to people experiencing homelessness in their community. The other 2 days per week they spend volunteering at their neighborhood elementary school. I marvel at the meaningful lives they've created, at the intentional way they spend their time, at their deep rootedness and commitment to place, both this monastery and their neighborhood, at the saintliness that radiates from them, as if they're wearing neon signs around their necks. What moved me is that couple is living like creatures rather than machines, even though they're doing all sorts of manual labor. That couple is actually governed more by the sunrise and the sunset, by that 1 week a year that they set aside. Their week is consecrated by Christian charity, by letting the gospel that they've heard be enfleshed in the love that they extend. This couple is free, and there's no cloning. You and I are different people, but you know what? We're connected to them in prayer, in the Mass that's offered, in the prayers of sunrise and sunset that we can offer. And to think that our life could be more beautiful and intentional, that the time remaining to us, however many years, however many weeks, however many sunrises and sunsets and sleeps we have, this is the miracle. We can feel like Moses sometimes and get very, very tired. But it takes two, in Moses' case, Aaron and Hur, to prop him up. It takes each of us finding that network of friends to help and to be helped. And before we know it, our life is as blessed as God has created it to be. He is no unjust judge. He's our Heavenly Father, and He wants us this time to grow up big and strong for love of Him.